is time for Scriptures for America Worldwide with Pastor Peter J. Peters. All around the world, from the United States to Canada, Europe, Russia, South Africa, Australia, the Holy Spirit is stirring the hearts of godly Christians. The Bible says, quote, as an eagle stirreth up his nest, end quote. We invite you to stay tuned as Pastor Peter J. Peters shines the mighty light of the gospel on the source of our problems and the only solution. Please keep Scriptures for America in your prayers. And now, Pastor Peters.
Greetings to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'll begin this radio broadcast on Thanksgiving Day by saying that the true story of Thanksgiving is the story of the pilgrims. And we'll begin with them by saying that they viewed their coming to America as fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and themselves as the true children of Israel. Now this can be seen from the most excellent and accurate history book, The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall and David Manuel. I want to read to you from page 157 of that book. Quote, by now a farewell sermon had become a tradition, and it was preached by a stalwart young minister named John Cotton, whose star was also destined to rise over New England. He preached on 2 Samuel 7:10, quote within quote. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. End of quote within quote. Samuel Ellett Morrison put it thus, quote within quote, Cotton's sermon was of a nature to inspire these new children of Israel with the belief that they were the Lord's chosen people, destined if they kept the covenant with him to people and fructify this new Canaan in the western wilderness. End of quote, within quote, and end quote. There's much to the pilgrim story, and we, of course, will not be able to tell all of it in this broadcast. But before I tell you anything further, let me go to Scripture and let us see what the Scripture tells us about these people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, quote, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. End of quote. The story of the pilgrims is a story about a race of people. And what people did they consider themselves to be? They considered themselves to be the children of Israel. I'm going to take another quote from another proclamation concerning Thanksgiving. As you study the history of Thanksgiving, you'll find that there's been several different proclamations throughout history. This one is a proclamation by Jonathan Trumbull, then governor of the English colony of Connecticut. The date of the proclamation is in the 1700s. Quote, that he would inspire the king's heart with wisdom to discern the true interest of all his people and make them know what Israel ought to do. End of quote. Notice that in this proclamation, they considered themselves then as Israel. The story of true Thanksgiving is a story of a race, but it's also a story of Christianity, not the nonsensical brand of today known as the Judeo-Christian churches. But I'm talking about the real thing. And it was the real thing that Daniel Webster was talking about in a speech that he made, discourse delivered at Plymouth on the 22nd of December, 1820. It's found in Volume 1, The Works of Daniel Webster, dated 1851. This speech was upon the occasion of the dedication of the Statue of Faith on the 200th anniversary of the landing of the pilgrims at Plymouth. This is what he said, quote, finally, let us not forget the religious character of our origin. Our fathers were brought hither by their high veneration for the Christian religion. They journeyed by its light and labored by its hope. They sought to incorporate its principles with the elements of their society and to diffuse its influence through all their institutions, civil, political, or literary. Let us cherish these sentiments and extend this influence still more widely in the full conviction that that is the happiest society which partakes in the highest degree of the mild and peaceful spirit of Christianity. End of quote. You see, it was not a pluralistic, melting pot, multicultural society that they came to establish, or that the God of Israel was helping them to establish. It was a Christian society. How can we deny that? Particularly when we read the Mayflower Compact, which says, quote, "In the name of God, we whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign, Lord King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc., having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." End of quote. This is all a story of our roots. As Daniel Webster said, let us not forget the religious character of our origin. It's a story of our roots which go back to a race and to Christianity. And I might say this story could not be told in the humanistic government public schools today without complaint by the Antichrist ADL or without a lawsuit from the Jewish-controlled ACLU. It couldn't be mentioned by our leaders today, political leaders, because the story is not politically correct. It couldn't be televised and with any accuracy, for you couldn't get any sponsors, as it might offend Jews, Buddhists, Satanists, even Judeo-Christians. The acceptable, or make-believe would be a better way to put it, story goes something like this. White pilgrims nearly starved first winter, but saved by the Indian, who taught them how to survive, and being thankful for their deliverance by the hand of the Indians, they proclaimed a special day of Thanksgiving. One man said of such a story that it's superficial to say the least and a lie at the most. Now, it is true that in the fall of 1621, October, frankly, of 1621, the pilgrims threw a party for the Indians. But that's not the divine origin of our Thanksgiving, the one we celebrate every last Thursday in November.
The true Thanksgiving story concerning the origin of Thanksgiving Day is much different than the one presently told in America's government public schools or the one portrayed on the deceiving television tube. The true Thanksgiving story is not a story of Indians saving white pilgrims from starvation. The fact is, the true Thanksgiving story is probably unlike anything you have ever heard. Why? Because the true Thanksgiving story is not politically correct. Because the true Thanksgiving story is a story of true Christianity, a story of a miraculous Christian miracle, a story of the failure of socialism and communism, a story of God's covenant people prophetically coming to the promised land, America. You will learn the true Thanksgiving story when you order and read the new and special publication entitled The True Thanksgiving Story by Pastor Peter J. Peters, available from Scriptures for America Worldwide for a $2 offering. This special, fully documented publication is available nowhere else. If you would like it, we would like to send it to you. Simply write and request The True Thanksgiving Story by Pastor Peter J. Peters and enclose a $2 offering. Write to Scriptures for America Worldwide, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Or, if you wish, simply call 307-745-5913 and leave your name and address, and we will send it to you immediately. You can send the $2 offering later. Again, the phone number is 307-745-5913. Also, The True Thanksgiving Story by Pastor Peter J. Peters is available on a C60 audio cassette tape and can be yours for a $4 offering. Don't let you and your family be robbed of your Christian heritage. Order The True Thanksgiving Story today.
The Indian story, for the most part, there were no Indians in the area. Why? Because the God of Israel removed them so he could plant his covenant people, the Israelite pilgrims, in their place. And the Indians did not save them. I take this from a writing by the late Pastor Sheldon Emery. He said, quote, 20th century subversives who write much of our present textbooks and history try to tell us the English colony would have perished if it had not been for the noble red man. That is a strange theory, but the truth is even stranger, for there was not one Indian within 75 miles of Cape Cod Bay in 1620. This was wondered at by the pilgrims, who actually attempted to search out the Indians in hopes of bartering for food. They did find a few caches of dried berries and meat, obviously stored for the now missing Indians, which they took for themselves, and these did prevent the death of some who would have otherwise died. But they found no living Indians. It was not until several years later that they learned the reason, from other Indians from further away who slowly moved into the area. We will take the story as told by a Puritan captain, Edward Johnson, in his Wonder-Working Providence of Zion, Savior of New England, published in London in 1653. Quote within quote, let us tell of the marvelous doings of Christ preparing for his people's arrival in the Western world. Whereas the Indians report that they beheld to their great wonderment that bright blazing comet, anon after sunset it appeared, as they say in the southwest, about 3 hours, continuing in their horizon for the space of 30 sleeps, or so they reckoned their days, after which uncouth sight they expected some strange things to follow, which he now tells. The summer after the blazing star, whose motion in the heavens was from east to west, pointing out the progress of the glorious gospel of Christ, the glorious king of his churches, even about the year 1618, a little before the removal of the Church of Christ from Holland to Plymouth in New England, as the ancient Indians report, there befell a great mortality among them, chiefly desolating those places where the English afterward planted. By this means, Christ, whose great and glorious works the earth throughout are altogether for the benefit of his church and chosen, not only made room for his people to plant, but also tamed the hard and cruel hearts of these barbarous Indians, insomuch that half a handful of his people landing not long after in Plymouth Plantation found little resistance. End of quote. I do apologize for the reading. It's in the old English, and they have the old spelling, and it's a little difficult. Of course, the comet that they were talking about was one that took place in 1618. Well, who saved them from starvation? Now that we have established that there, according to history, were no Indians, that they were removed by the hand of the God of Israel so that he could plant his little colony of pilgrims there, who then saved them from starvation if the Indians did not? And the answer to that is their great God and King, Jesus Christ, their Savior, saved them time and time again. One time he used not Indians, but rather an Indian named Squanto. That God-glorifying story is superbly told by David Manuel and Peter Marshall in their history book, The Light and the Glory. On page 130 and 131 and 133, I'm going to read some excerpts. I would recommend this book to have it in your library. You can order it from us for a $10 offering, or you can pick it up in a local bookstore. Basically, the story goes something like this. After the pilgrims were settling in, one day an Indian come walking into camp, and he said, "Welcome. You got any beer? Now, that might sound like a make-believe story, but you'll find out that's the true story. I read on page 129, quote, "Welcome," he suddenly boomed in a deep, resonant voice. The pilgrims were too startled to speak. At length, they replied with as much gravity as they could muster, "Welcome." Their visitor fixed them with a piercing stare. "Have you got any beer?" he asked them in flawless English. We'll stop the quote there. Now, as the book goes on to tell, the next day this Indian brought another Indian with him, and he too spoke flawless English. And his name was Squanto. On page 130, speaking of Squanto, the book says, quote, "The extraordinary chain of coincidences in this man's life is in its own way no less extraordinary than the saga of Joseph's being sold into slavery in Egypt. Indeed, in ensuing months, there was not any doubt in their hearts that Squanto, whose Indian name was Tisquantum, was a godsend. His story really began in 1605, when Squanto and four other Indians were taken captive by Captain George Weymouth, who was exploring the New England coast at the behest of Sir Ferdinand Gorges. The Indians were taken to England, where they were taught English, so that they could question them as to what tribes populated New England." End the quote. The story goes on to tell that Squanto was of the Patuxet Indian tribe. According to the Light and the Glory, it says of this tribe that they were, quote, "a large hostile tribe who had murdered every white man who had landed on their shores. But 4 years prior to the pilgrims' arrival, a mysterious plague had broken out among them, killing every man, woman, and child. So complete was the devastation that the neighboring tribes had shunned the area ever since. Hence, the cleared land on which they had settled literally belonged to no one. Their nearest neighbor," said Somerset, "were the Wampanoags, some 50 miles to the southwest. These Indians numbered about 60 warriors." End the quote. Going on in this story on page 131, quote, "When Squanto stepped ashore 6 months before the pilgrims arrived, he received the most tragic blow of his life. Not a man, woman, or child of his tribe was left alive. Nothing but skulls and bones and ruined dwellings remained." End the quote.
The true Thanksgiving story concerning the origin of Thanksgiving Day is much different than the one presently told in America's government public schools or the one portrayed on the deceiving television tube. The true Thanksgiving story is not a story of Indians saving white pilgrims from starvation. The fact is, the true Thanksgiving story is probably unlike anything you have ever heard. Why? Because the true Thanksgiving story is not politically correct. Because the true Thanksgiving story is a story of true Christianity, a story of a miraculous Christian miracle, a story of the failure of socialism and communism, a story of God's covenant people prophetically coming to the promised land, America. You will learn the true Thanksgiving story when you order and read the new and special publication entitled The True Thanksgiving Story by Pastor Peter J. Peters, available from Scriptures for America Worldwide for a $2 offering. This special, fully documented publication is available nowhere else. If you would like it, we would like to send it to you. Simply write and request The True Thanksgiving Story by Pastor Peter J. Peters and enclose a $2 offering. Write to Scriptures for America Worldwide, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Or, if you wish, simply call 307-745-5913 and leave your name and address, and we will send it to you immediately. You can send the $2 offering later. Again, the phone number is 307-745-5913. Also, The True Thanksgiving Story by Pastor Peter J. Peters is available on a C60 audio cassette tape and can be yours for a $4 offering. Don't let you and your family be robbed of your Christian heritage. Order The True Thanksgiving Story today.
Squanto had no place to go. He found the pilgrims. And according to page 133, quote, "The pilgrims cast a baleful eye on their amazing friend who seemed to have adopted them. End of quote. And what took place was Squanto, who could speak flawless English, taught them how to plant corn, how to trap beaver, how to catch fish coming up into the streams. And so you see, the story is not Indians saved pilgrims. The story is God saved pilgrims by using an Indian who was taken into slavery several years before and got back to the New England colony area. And that's the true story. As a result, that fall of 1621, October to be precise, the Indians were invited to a party by the pilgrims. It was a party of thanksgiving, and there was a thanksgiving that took place at that time. Let's now go to the origin of the thanksgiving that we celebrate, not in October, but in November. That thanksgiving goes back to the words of William Bradford, the governor of the Pilgrim Colony, in his proclamation of thanksgiving. Quote, "Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game, and the sea with fish, and inasmuch as he protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from the pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th, of the year of our Lord 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. Signed, William Bradford, Governor." Notice, this is 3 years after they landed. This is the proclamation on the last Thursday in November of 1623. What brought about this proclamation? To answer that, we can say a life-saving, Christ-magnifying miracle that was so awesome that it caused them that November of 1623 to celebrate with a day of thanksgiving. And two, the God-ordained and forced conversion from socialism to God's kingdom system of private property and a laborer keeping the fruits of his labor. William Bradford was the governor of Plymouth Colony, and it was he who wrote a history of the early days of the pilgrims called the Plymouth Plantation. To understand the first Thanksgiving, one needs to understand the historical background of the world that existed back in the 1620s. A typical serf would work 3 days on his lord's farm, 3 more days on a village communal farm, and then was allowed to attend church on Sunday. Feudalism and communism existed side by side throughout Europe, and England was the only country where this system was being challenged. Now, the venture capitalists who had backed the pilgrims in their coming to America compelled them to adopt this as their economic system. And when they arrived in the New World, that's what they had to follow. By early 1623, about 2.5 years under this system, the pilgrims literally faced famine, which Bradford compared with the famine during the time of Jacob in the Bible. Desperate, and at the end of their meager resources, they demanded as particular individuals their right to the produce of their own labors. Quote, "After 2 years of labor in common had brought the colony more than once to the verge of ruin, Bradford had the courage and wisdom to cut the knot he could not untie. During the scarce springtime of 1623, he assigned all the detached persons in the colony to live with families and then temporarily divided the ancient Indian field on which the settlement had been made among the several families in proportion to their number, leaving every household to shift for itself or suffer want, end of quote. That's the words of Edward Eggleston, a historian reporting on what took place there in his book, The Beginners of a Nation.
The true Thanksgiving story concerning the origin of Thanksgiving Day is much different than the one presently told in America's government public schools or the one portrayed on the deceiving television tube. The true Thanksgiving story is not a story of Indians saving white pilgrims from starvation. The fact is, the true Thanksgiving story is probably unlike anything you have ever heard. Why? Because the true Thanksgiving story is not politically correct. Because the true Thanksgiving story is a story of true Christianity. A story of a miraculous Christian miracle. A story of the failure of socialism and communism. A story of God's covenant people prophetically coming to the promised land, America. You will learn the true Thanksgiving story when you order and read the new and special publication entitled The True Thanksgiving Story by Pastor Peter J. Peters, available from Scriptures for America Worldwide for a $2 offering. This special, fully documented publication is available nowhere else. If you would like it, we would like to send it to you. Simply write and request The True Thanksgiving Story by Pastor Peter J. Peters and enclose a $2 offering. Write to Scriptures for America Worldwide, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Or, if you wish, simply call 307-745-5913 and leave your name and address, and we will send it to you immediately. You can send the $2 offering later. Again, the phone number is 307-745-5913. Also, The True Thanksgiving Story by Pastor Peter J. Peters is available on a C60 audio cassette tape and can be yours for a $4 offering. Don't let you and your family be robbed of your Christian heritage. Order The True Thanksgiving Story today.
This is what William Bradford had to say. I take it from The Light and the Glory on page 141. Quote, "It made all hands very industrious. Much more corn was planted than otherwise would have been by any means the governor or any other could use, and saved him a great deal of trouble and gave far better content. The women now went willingly into the field and took their little ones with them to set corn, which before would alleged weakness and inability, whom to have compelled would have been thought great tyranny and oppression," end of quote. By William Bradford, who's describing the effect of leaving their communalism and going to God's kingdom economics. "Any general want or suffering hath not been among them since to this day," he writes years afterwards. "The assignment was a revolutionary stroke in violation of the contract with the shareholders and contrary to their wishes, but Bradford saw that it was a life and death necessity to be rid of the pernicious system, even at the cost of cutting off all support from England. In his history, he draws a very clear picture of the evils of communism as he had observed them." End of quote. In my series of messages entitled The Unseen War, I have pointed out that according to Scripture, there are the cursed people. They make great merchants, great bankers, so forth. But they, according to the Bible, are cut off from the face of God and cut off from the face of the land. So their survival is one of a parasitic survival. Thus they need and they promote socialism. I know that that word has become antiquated as we're told that it has died, so we'll use one world government. But I'd like to read a quote that's taken from the Jewish Review in London, March-June issue of 1934. It comes from page 29 and 30. It's by a Dr. James Park, and it says, quote, "It is not accident which has made Jews form so large a proportion of socialist leaders." End of quote. You see, some people cannot survive by God's kingdom economics. They must have what we call man's system of socialism. Well, that year they made the change to private enterprise, But something else happened that year. What happened next to the pilgrims put them in a position that God often puts his people in, where the only way they could survive was by faith. The only way they could survive was by faith, and the only way they could overcome was by faith. But you see, these were the sons and daughters of Abraham, the children of faith. And their book tells them that it is their faith that overcomes the world. Oh, that we would understand that this day on Thanksgiving, as we in our minds let people believe that the evil is going to overcome the good. It is our faith that overcomes the world. That word world means, in the Greek, world order, quite frankly. And the word overcome means to conquer. Well, they had much to conquer because God would now bring upon them something that, according to the history book, The Light and the Glory, there was no way humanly possible they could do anything about it. Praise be to the Heavenly Father when he does so in the lives of his people. It's like the old gospel song says, "Oh, where could I go? Oh, where could I go but to the Lord?" And so let me tell you what happens next. I shall do so by going back to the history book, The Light and the Glory, on page 141. Quote, "Sometime after the second planting, it became apparent that the dry spell which had begun between the two plantings was turning into a drought. Week followed week. It would continue for 12 weeks in all. And not even the oldest Indians could remember anything like it. Edward Winslow described the drought and what followed, quote within quote, "There scarce fell any rain, so that the stalk of that planting began to set forth the ears before it came to half growth, and that which was later not like to yield any at all, both blade and stalk hanging the head and changing the color in such manner as we judged it utterly dead. Our beans also ran not up according to their wonted manner, but stood at a stay, many being parched away as though they had been scorched before the fire. Now were our hopes overthrown, and we discouraged. Our joy turned into mourning." End of quote, within quote, and end of quote.
Pastor Peters will continue in just a few moments. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to another unique program brought to you by Scriptures for America Worldwide. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the unflagging prayers and for the steady stream of financial support which continue to make these extraordinary broadcasts possible. It is a very simple equation if you think about it. If your heartfelt prayers bring down God's guidance and protection on us, and if your contributions let us pay to produce and to air these programs, then it is you who reap the benefits from your giving by being fed the real meat of the correct gospel of Jesus Christ. Be assured that as long as you keep doing your part, we will keep doing our part. And thank you again. Now, Pastor Peters with the rest of this important and valuable message.
Now let's go to the words of William Bradford, which he wrote several years later, describing the event which was, in their mind, sure to destroy them and send them into winter famine. "The Lord seemed to blast and take away the same, and to threaten further and more sore famine upon them by a great drought, which continued from ye third week in May till about ye middle of July, without any rain, and with great heat for ye most part, insomuch as ye corn began to wither away, though it was set with fish, the moisture whereof helped it much. Yet at length it began to languish sore, and some of ye drier grounds were parched like withered hay,
part whereof was never recovered, upon which they set apart a solemn day of humiliation, to seek ye Lord by humble and fervent prayer, in this great distress, and he was pleased to give them a gracious and speedy answer, both to their own and the Indians' admiration that lived amongst them. For all ye morning, and the greatest part of the day, it was clear weather, and very hot, and not a cloud or any sign of rain to be seen. Yet toward evening, it began to overcast, and shortly after to rain, with such sweet and gentle showers as gave them cause of rejoicing and blessing God. It came without either wind or thunder or any violence, and by degrees in ye abundance, as that ye earth was thoroughly wet and soaked therewith, which did so apparently revive and quicken ye decayed corn and other fruits as was wonderful to see, and made ye Indians astonished to behold. And afterwards the Lord sent them such seasonable showers, with interchange of fair warm weather, as through his blessing caused a fruitful and liberal harvest to their no small comfort and rejoicing. For which ye mercies, in time convenient, they also set apart a day of thanksgiving, end of quote, by William Bradford, telling us how we came about having the Thanksgiving that we keep in November. It came about when they converted from communal socialism to God's kingdom economics of a man keeping the fruits of his own labor. And it came about by the Heavenly Father bringing upon them a sore trial, forcing them to their knees in humiliation and prayer. And when we see trials on the horizon looming, that may do that again, let us not fear, but let us rejoice that our God knows how to push down on the stiff necks of his Israelite people and force them to their knees and force them to bow their heads in humiliation and prayer and beseech him once again through faith, faith that only they have and not their cursed enemies, asking for help. The Light and the Glory reports the story on page 142 and 143, quote, "Whatever may have brought on the drought, the sincere and deep repentance of each and every pilgrim had a phenomenal effect. Winslow writes, quote within quote, "But oh, the mercy of our God, who was as ready to hear as we were to ask. For though in the morning when we assembled together, the heavens were as clear and the drought as like to continue as it ever was, yet our continuing some 8 or 9 hours before our departure, the weather was overcast. The clouds gathered on the next morning, distilled such soft, sweet, and moderate showers of rain, continuing some 14 days, and mixed with such seasonable weather, as it was hard to say whether our withered corn or drooping affections were more quickened or revived, such was the bounty and goodness of our God." End of quote within quote. Bradford says, quote within quote, "It came without either wind or thunder or any violence, and by degrees in that abundance as that the earth was thoroughly wet and soaked therewith, which did so apparently revive and quicken the decayed corn and other fruits, as was wonderful to see, and made the Indians astonished to behold." End of quote within quote. It had to have had a profound effect on the Indians, for while their own rain dances or the incantations of their medicine men did sometimes seem to have some effect, it is interesting to note the result, as Winslow comments, quote, "And all of them admired the goodness of our God toward us that wrought so great a change in so short a time, theirs being mixed with such storms and tempests as sometimes, instead of doing them good, it laid the corn flat on the ground. to their prejudice, but to ours in so gentle and seasonable a manner as they never observed the like. End of quote within quote. There are only two origins of supernatural phenomena, and as the pilgrims might have said, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. The yield that year was so abundant that the pilgrims ended up with a surplus of corn, which they were able to use in trading that winter with northern Indians who had not a good growing season. A second day of Thanksgiving was planned, and this year there was even more reason to celebrate. Their beloved governor was to marry one Alice Southworth. End of quote. Again, this is another witness as to the origin of our Thanksgiving. And it gives the true story, a story that is not acceptable to our Antichrist enemies, who seem to have a certain measure of, shall I say, responsibility in this country to be thorns in our sides, a story which the Antichrist ADL would not want told, a story which the Jewish-controlled ACLU would prevent with a lawsuit. And it's a story most cannot tell because they've never heard it. They've never heard the true story of Thanksgiving. The late Pastor Sheldon Emory wrote it this way: if we have believed, and I believe rightly so, the events so far related came about by the guiding hand of God, would it not follow that God also caused the heat to almost destroy their crops, that they might seek ye, Lord, by humble and fervent prayer, and then answer that prayer with just the right amount of rain and just the right temperature to provide to them their, so far, most beautiful and bountiful harvest? Is it so far beyond the realm of Christian reason but to believe that God's purpose was to cause them to proclaim a day of thanksgiving? That it was done, and following such unique and marvelous events, should serve as greater proof than any argument I might offer. End of quote. In conclusion, fellow Israelites, that is the story of Thanksgiving. Not the politically correct Judaized lie told to our children in the humanistic Christless indoctrination centers called public school, but the true story, a story of faith, Christian, and I might add Christian-only faith. A story of the miraculous, providential hand of God shepherding and protecting His people, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. A story of the dismal failure of Judaized socialistic communism that cursed men bring upon us in their attempt to parasitically live off of us, versus the success of God's kingdom economics, of a man keeping the fruits of his labor. A story of a race of people, white people, coming to America by the hand of God, who were Israelites and whose descendants today are Israel. And on this Thanksgiving Day, I can only pray that they might once again be thankful. Be thankful for who they are and for what their God has done for them and their forefathers, and that He's ready to hear them again if they but humble themselves and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways. And I'm thankful on this Thanksgiving Day to be able to tell you the story. I'm thankful for my tape audience that basically sponsors our radio broadcasts and outreach efforts. And I'm thankful for those of you out there that have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to feel the significance of this true Thanksgiving story. And may we be found as a thankful people this day and all the days of the life that He gives us. Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, in the last hour you heard a message by Pastor Peters entitled Thanksgiving, the True Story. And we thank you for listening to the Scriptures for America Broadcasting Network. If you would like to order a copy of this message on a CD, you can do so by writing to Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado 80535. We do ask that you include a donation of at least $5 per CD. Or you can order online by going to scripturesforamerica.org.
When I was young and still a boy, I asked my father, what will there be? Will there be justice? Will there be truth? Here's what he said to me. Thank the Lord above. He gave us his law and love. So justice and kingdom come, if his will be done. Thank the Lord above. He gave us his law and love. So justice and kingdom come, his will be done, and we love his son. When I grew up and found my dear, my lovely lady said to me, will there be children? Will there be joy? Here's what I said should be. Thank the Lord above. His law and love, he made all his blessings known, with a plan for home. Thank the Lord above, he gave us his law and love, he made all his blessings known, with a plan for home, and a land to own. When we were wed as children came, they asked their mother, who will teach us? Will we be helpful? Will we be wise? Here's what she said should be. Thank the Lord above. Your daddy knows law and love, and we will teach you the way, so you'll always say. Your daddy knows law and love, and we will teach you the way, so you'll always say, we will win the day. Thank the Lord above, he gave us his law and love, and pray for the Spirit to fill the land.
Sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, bear the news to every land. Climb the mountains, cross the waves, onward is our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, wipe it on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean waves, earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, by his death an endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, shouted brightly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy. mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
I'd walk for miles, cry or smile, for the King I serve. I want Him to know I love Him so. How I feel, my love is real, for His voice I heard. I want Him to know I love Him so. My heart, joy bells start, 'cause I'm thankful, and I pray every day, ever mindful, and each night I'd walk for miles, cry or smile, forever joyful. I want Him to know I love Him so. King I serve, I want Him to know I heard His call. I'd work and slave and never rave to the King of Kings, 'cause I owe Him my all. Joy bells start, 'cause I'm thankful, and I pray every day, ever mindful, and each night I'd walk for miles, cry or smile, forever joyful. I want Him to know I love Him so. Yeah.
have been listening to Scriptures for America Worldwide with Pastor Peter J. Peters. Should you want to write, the address is Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Our fax number is country code 01-307-745-5914. Again, that is Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Fax number 01-307-745-5914. When writing, please let us know on which broadcast frequency you received this program. Scriptures for America Worldwide is an evangelical ministry dedicated to proclaiming the correct gospel of the kingdom of Christ and to revealing to the world the true scriptural identity of the true covenant people. The Bible says, quote, "Creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God," end quote. This ministry is supported by tithes and free will offerings. Please pray for Scriptures for America Worldwide.
What if the science fiction stories you've been told were not fiction? Not fiction at all, but really stories told to you as fiction, so that when reality was made known to you, you couldn't believe it because you've been programmed to believe that only happens in those science fiction stories and movies. I'm Pastor Peter J. Peters, the author of the book Terrible, Terrible Stories to Solve the Mystery of Lawlessness. You may wonder what I'm talking about. About what Jesus talked about in the story of the wheat and the tares. The truth is, the terrible stories, spelled T-E-R-R-I-B-L-E, told as news stories, are really terrible stories, spelled T-A-R-E-A-B-L-E. A tare is a plant, a fruitless parasitic plant that in its early stage looks like wheat. Jesus told the story this way, quote, "But when men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way," end quote. Now, why haven't you heard about this story? Maybe they don't want you to hear. And who are the they? Glad you asked. They are the ones that you've been talking about when you say they are going to do this and they are going to do that. And if there is a they, and there is, then there is an us. And the us seem to know that they are against us. Jesus said it this way concerning the theys and the us's. That is, the wheat and the tares, quote, "The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one," end quote. Want to know more? Order our book, Terrible, Terrible Stories to Solve the Mystery of Lawlessness. Take advantage of our special promotional offer. Send a $10 offering to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Or go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org, to order.
Everything you wanted to know about gun control and preachers were afraid to tell you is the eyebrow-raising title of a hard-hitting essay now available in pamphlet format for a $6 offering U.S. funds and for a lot less when ordered in bulk. It's an excellent tool to place in the hands of all true Christian men, especially those in uniform. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, quote, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel," end quote. So send a $6 offering U.S. funds and just ask for gun control. Write to Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Once again, that's Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. And thank you very much for your continuing prayers and support.